Good morning. My name is Ed Travers, teaching pastor here at Life Point in Westerville. I gotta say, I'm super excited for today for lots of reasons. One is it's Baptism Sunday, and we have four people who are getting baptized, so I'm super stoked about that. Also because I get a chance to share the Word of God with you, and it's one of my favorite things in the world to do. So thanks for being here and giving me that opportunity. Man, you're making my whole day. So listen, Life Point is one church that meets in four locations. We actually have Lewis Center, Mount Vernon, Delaware, and here. And we all work together because we didn't want to create one big church. We wanted to create a church that would reach many communities with the gospel. So that's part of what we do. Also, every week, the four teaching pastors work together along with another pastor to put together a drivecast. It's like a 5 to 6 minute devotional that you can catch online, or you can catch on the website, or you can catch through the through your app. And it's really just kind of, it's the four teaching pastors' take on the passages that we're teaching on Sunday. So I just want to encourage you guys with that. So listen, Tammy and I have been married for 21 years, my wife Tammy and I. In fact, this is a nice picture of us a week after we were married. She is my queen. I feel like we look pretty much the same. So nevertheless, I adore her. She is, certainly my favorite person in the world. But we have a problem, and I don't know if you guys can help me or not. Seriously, you can pray for us, but she doesn't trust me. It all goes back to an Afghan. You see, in 21 years, she's never allowed me to make one decision to decorate her house. Not one. It doesn't matter. I can't pick out furniture. I can't pick out anything because she just doesn't trust me. She looks at me and she's like, no. And it goes back to this Afghan. So I'm going to show you a picture of like a nice little throw Afghan. Now, that's a nice looking one. And I had one, and it was brown and orange and yellow, and it kind of ran together. I have no idea where it came from. It was a little beat up, and the holes in it, you know how the holes are there? They were a little bit bigger than probably should be normal. So listen, I lived with my brother before we got married, and she visited the house, and one of the windows, we didn't have a curtain, so I hung up the Afghan on top of the curtain rod, and I didn't have anything to hang it with, so I had some leather shoestrings that I cut up in small pieces, and I just roped it up there. I don't know why you're laughing. This is resourceful. I'm thinking, I know what I'm doing. This is a great way to not have to spend money on a curtain or blind. I've got the material, just use it. And ever since then, she doesn't trust me at all to make decisions. Why? Is it crazy? Anyway, nevertheless, she and I are different. We don't see eye to eye sometimes on decorating. But I was thinking about that because trust is kind of a weird thing, right? I mean, we all have reasons that we've learned over time why it's hard to trust. And sometimes it's because the people who are in charge or giving us advice don't give good advice. Or maybe we look at their life and think, well, they're not doing it right. Or maybe, they've steered us the wrong way. There's lots of reasons to not trust. In the series that we're in, it's called Into the Wild. We're looking at the life of Moses. And in this series, every week, we're looking at the big theme that God brings his people from bondage into freedom. Right? And he sends Moses there to, go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go. And that, as this part of the story, they've been through all these 10 plagues. God did dramatically to kind of dismantle the gods of Egypt. And then he brings them through the Red Sea. And now they're on the other side. And you would think they would completely trust God at this moment. But they don't. They struggle. And today we're going to look at why that is. Because what you're going to see, even back then, at that time, the Israelites didn't know God that well. They didn't know him enough to really trust him. Even though he had done all this incredible stuff, they still struggled to trust him. And I think you may look back on stories from years ago and think, okay, that was for them. But isn't there a greater reality here? That God still wants us to know him enough that we'll trust him with our life. So whether you're someone who's been a Christian for years, like I have, or someone maybe who's kind of on the cusp of trying to figure this thing out, the truth for both of us is the same. Jesus wants us to trust him completely. That's what he wants for our life. But it's a struggle to do that. So we're going to look at this passage and kind of dig in and figure out why, and hopefully there'll be some encouragement in there to help us to learn to trust in Jesus. All right, so if you have a Bible, open up to Exodus chapter 16. Let me pray a second, and then we're going to dig in. You can follow along in your listening guide if you like, or in the app. But let's pray, okay? Father, I believe that you have us all here on purpose. The smallest detail of our lives, you know it, and you have worked it out so that we would be here today to hear your word. And by your spirit, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would use me, but that you would do the work to soften our hearts to hear your word. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so listen, if you have a Bible, open it up to Exodus chapter 16. I think we're going to have the verses up on the screen as we go along. And the first thing I want to share with you is this, is that we can trust God with the details. We can trust God with the details. Here's what's happened. Remember, the Egyptian army is bearing down on Israel. And after 10 plagues, what has happened is, you know, the Egyptians were so ready to get rid of the Israelites. They're like, hey, take our gold. Just go, get out of here. Right? Pharaoh and his men are like, just get out of here. Pray for us on your way out. Without lifting a sword, without raising an army, God has brought these people who've been in slavery for 400 years, generation after generation, without lifting up a sword, they are now brought out into across the Red Sea, watching the Red Sea collapse on the Egyptian army, decimating the army. No more enemy. They're free. But here's the problem. They get out in the desert and they start to panic. They start to grumble because they're hungry. Now, it's easy to look back and think, okay, God did all this incredible stuff, saved your lives, brought you up out of slavery. But now imagine you're out there and it's your kid saying, Daddy, Mommy, I'm hungry, right? They start to grumble. Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the desert of hunger? So here's what happens in verse 9. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around in the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was a face of of the wilderness, a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. Now, if you've never read this section or are familiar with it, here's what happened. You know, the people are out, and at night, quail comes in. Now, that wasn't completely abnormal. And maybe they could have dismissed that as a miracle, you know, but now they have quail to eat at night. They can eat meat. That's a great, good thing that God did. But in the morning, they look out and they're like, what is that? And they go out and they look and they pick it up and they're like, I don't know what it is. Maybe you should, you know, it tastes like honey wafers. It was called manna, bread from heaven. God miraculously brought bread down on the ground so that the Israelites could eat. Now, I want you to think about it. The biggest detail was salvation, right? But God was paying attention even to their grumblings, to the smallest detail, making sure they had enough to sustain their life. And God brought bread for them to eat. He gave them specific instructions as to how to collect it. And he said he did this on purpose to test them. What happened was he would say to them, look, 6 days, every day you go out, you collect what you need. Don't take more than you need. Don't take less than you need, but collect whatever you need. And that day you can eat it. But don't save it, because what's going to happen is it's going to rot. So the next day, you know, it'll come again and grab what you need, except on the day before Sabbath. Then there'll be enough for 2 days, and miraculously, that will sustain you for 2 days, and then it'll start over again. And of course, some people completely obeyed God, and other people took too much because they thought, well, we got to get as much as we can. We're going to be hungry tomorrow, and then it would turn, you know, would rot. Now, why would God do this? God was giving them instructions for his provision, because he wanted them to trust him with the details of their life. And they needed a reminder that every day they needed daily bread. Every day they needed to trust in God for the details of their life. And he had it. I think it's easy for us to get caught up in our lives and in our work and in our, you know, circumstances and our jobs and all these things and miss that God is actually providing for us. Sometimes you have to look backward and say, wow, God really did something. You know, I did something that happened to me in my life years ago. I was in my early 20s, and I felt like God was putting a call on my life to be in ministry. But the truth is, I never saw myself as a pastor. Like, I looked at my life, and I saw pastors, and I'm like, wow, they're these, like, incredible people, and, you know, they read their Bible every day, and they're, like, holy. And I looked at me, I'm like, man, I'm a, you know, no way I'm ever going to be a pastor. But maybe I could serve somewhere. I need to learn. And I just, every door I tried to open up closed on me. And so I thought, well, you know, I guess I'll just work my retail job, and wherever I'm at, I will try to represent Jesus as best I can. And when I was a retail manager, assistant manager of a sporting goods store at the time, and we used to go to Cleveland like twice a year for these manager meetings. And, you know, we would talk about initiatives that the company wanted to do, training, hiring practices, all these things that, you know, we had to do as a company. And so I would, you know, typically every meeting, that's what it would be. Well, one particular meeting, we go up there and they open up saying, hey, we've brought in a professional public speaker to train you how to be a public speaker. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, why in the world? Why in the world would they waste our time with this? And for 2 days, they trained us on all these techniques. And at the end of the second day, they said, you're now going to give a speech in front of everybody. And I'm telling you, I'm sweating just thinking about it. I thought I was going to die. I'm thinking, why in the world are they wasting our time that we would ever have? When am I ever going to do public speaking? Right? I mean, I can look back now and think, man, God was doing something even back then. He was taking care of details, preparing me for something he wanted later. I just didn't know. It's just easy to look back now and see the details. Sometimes you see the details almost immediately. I'll give you an example. So one thing about my beautiful bride is she is afraid to fly. You guys, there's like 25% of people are afraid to fly. Anyone else in the room, like you're afraid to fly? Yeah, I see some hands going up, like maybe 25% of you. Okay, so Tam, you're not alone. Listen, you know, it's normal, I guess. One day we were flying back from the west to back to Columbus, and she was scared to death. So I said, "Let's pray." So we're praying on the plane, and you know, this particular flight we hit some bad weather, and you know, got a little rocky. Anyway, so she was like gripping my hand with, you know, like a death grip, and the lady next to us looks over and says, "Honey, we're gonna be all right." You know, we spent the next hour talking with this woman. Her name was Carol Jones, and this was a long time ago. But let me tell you something. Carol Jones had spent a lot of her life in fear and anxiety. And God had broken that chain in her life and had literally worked through to help give her strength and encouragement and trust in God in the midst of fear and anxiety. And as she's sitting there literally coaching up my wife, you know, and just training her, that became kind of a catalyst in Tammy's life. In fact, the lady, she went on to Massachusetts, I think, and then mailed a book back to Tammy. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is crazy. Like, I'm sitting with like a person who actually understands how to speak to her and talk to my wife about this, even in that moment. But how did we get the seat on the plane next to her? You see, God knows the details of your life. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, man, I got the Egyptian army bearing down on me, you just need to know that he knows every detail. You need to trust in him, that he's got provision for your life. He wants us to know him. And that's really my second point, is that God always seems to have a big picture he wants us to see. If you go back to verse 12, it says, then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. You see, he was continually trying to share with the Israelites, know me. Know that I'm the Lord your God. I am the provider for your life. Why did he do the bread? I mean, couldn't he have done it another way? Why not just lead them out to like some grain, like a cornfield or a wheat field? I don't know. Why didn't he do that? Why the bread? I want you to think about something. You see, after that happened, God commanded Moses to teach the Israelites about the manna, this bread from heaven. And he trained them to teach them over and over again so that every generation of young Jewish boys and girls would grow up learning about this bread that appeared, that God did miraculously to provide for the people. But one day, God would send his own son to come into the world to pay for our sins. One day, you and I would be in a situation just like today where once we realize that God wants a relationship with us, but we realize that because God is holy and we're not, we have a problem. We've been disconnected from God. That's what sin does to us. God is holy and we are not. The problem is, if God really is holy and we want to be with him in heaven, how are we supposed to walk up into heaven if it's perfect if we're sinners? We can't drag our sin into heaven. So we are literally stuck in a situation and we need a savior to come save us from our sins. So what does Jesus do? He comes on the scene and says, hey, you should pray like this. Lord, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And then Jesus says this in John chapter 6, when he's teaching to a group of people, he says, Jesus then said to them, verse 32, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Don't you see the bigger picture? God did this whole thing. He could have done it any which way he wanted, but he gave them bread from heaven. Why? To train them to remember that God's the one who gives the bread. He gives sustenance for life. He's the provision for their salvation. Why? They would know this. All the kids would practice this every year after year, and they would trust in God. He's the one who provided the bread of life. And then when God sent his son, he said, I'm the bread. Why? So they would go, oh, I got it. I got it. The whole thing was a foreshadowing. Do you see the bigger picture on this? Guys, when I was a teenager, one of my favorite movies was The Karate Kid. Let's see, if you're my generation, maybe even younger, you probably watched it. It's incredible. Remember the incredible, crane scene? I practice this all the time. Like, the girls don't think it's funny. But nevertheless, like, remember that scene? And you see his eyes all lit up, and he's ready to, like, kick Johnny, because Johnny deserves it. I'm just going to say that out loud. But that's not my favorite scene. My favorite scene is when Daniel goes to Mr. Miyagi and, says, please train me. And Miyagi finally agrees to train him. And so he says, come over, and you're going to wash the car. You're going to wax on, wax off. And then you're going to paint the fence, side to side. And then you're going to, sand the floor. And he now at a certain moment, after doing all this work, he's completely worn out. And he looks at Miyagi and says, Miyagi, why do you got me out here doing all your work? This is so unfair. And Miyagi just, show me. Paint the fence, and then next thing he's throwing kicks and punches, and Daniel sees it. He goes, and he sees the whole thing, right? He realizes that Miyagi has been training him the whole time. Listen, God does these little details because he wants us to see the bigger picture of who he is. Do you see that? He's working out, architecting situations in our life on purpose so that we will know that he is God. Are there details in your life that you look back and think, oh man, that was God working there. God's even working today, sharing the word of God with you to hear the word of God so that you shall know that he is the Lord and you will trust in him. How can you trust in God? I would say it's simply the gospel. That's how we trust in God. We trust in him daily for provision. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could walk in this new relationship with God. It's not just getting into the race. Like, you hear the message one time, think, okay, I'm going to pray that prayer. No, it's every day preaching the gospel to yourself and reminding yourself that he is Lord and God. One of our core values of our church is spiritual intimacy. We believe that every person, that as they respond to God, they continue to walk in steps with him and cultivate a relationship through prayer and through reading the word and through obeying. And one of those steps that all believers take after they become a follower of Christ, if they make the decision to believe and to trust and pray to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, one of the steps they take is baptism. You see, baptism is a public declaration of a commitment that's already happened inside. It's a picture. It's like a foreshadowing, like the manna. Someone comes up and they get in the water and they're standing there and they go down in the water like they're dying to themselves, they're dying to their sin. And the water represents the blood of Christ and what God, did through his son and shed on the cross, and it washes away their sin and they come up a new person in Christ, a new creation in Christ. It's all a picture. It doesn't make you a better Christian. It just makes you an obedient Christian. And obedience is the mark of trusting in God. So today, we're actually going to have four people get baptized, and three of them are children. I want to just say something to you real fast. As a parent, we take baptism very seriously with our students and with our children back there. And I would just say to you, we do two things for children. One is we do kind of a dedication for young ones, and we do that so parents dedicate their child, as to saying, we're going to raise this kid the best we can with the help of the Lord so they will know the Lord. But then once someone makes that decision, we ask them if they're ready to get baptized. With children, we are really careful about it. So we're actually bringing the kids in now. And listen, if you're going to be baptized, I'm going to ask that you come and head back here and get ready. But here's the thing. As a parent and as a pastor, here's what I would say to you about children. There's a tendency for children to really just want to do and obey what their parents are telling them to do or what their leaders are telling them. So as a parent, here's what I would say to you. Make your kid beg you. We won't baptize a kid until they are literally asking a parent over and over and over again. We have one-on-one talks with them where we basically ask them about their faith and when they made that decision. We make sure they understand that. So I just want to say that to you as an encouragement, that talk to your kids about making steps. All right, so we're going to get this thing done here. Guys, in just a minute, I think Mark's going to come up and he's going to read to you about our first person, okay?
All right. Just a special day, a special morning this morning. I'm going to talk with you about our first lady who's going to be baptized. Her name is Samantha Farmer. And Samantha wrote down a few things about her relationship with the Lord, and I wanted to share those with you. One of the questions that was asked was, you know, Samantha, how was your life kind of before you became the Lord's, before you knew him as your Lord and Savior? And what Samantha explains is that she grew up with a family that had both parents that believed in God, and she kind of went through, she lived in two different church atmospheres, and so she knew of God, but as she grew and got older, she realized that she was a little bit of a controller, right? And so she struggled with letting the Lord control her life. And she went through a series of events as she got older. Of course, she got married to her husband, Will, and, you know, new relationship, dealing with those kind of things. She got an amazing job. She works with children that have autism, and she loved doing that, but that became very stressful. And then she was blessed with a daughter, Addie, and God was doing all these things, but as God was blessing her with more and more things, she felt like she was losing more and more control. And so she was stressed, to say the least, anxious. She had to go on even a little bit of medication for a little while. And then, so that was kind of her life in a nutshell before she knew the Lord. And then this was a question that was asked: how did you come to the point where you heard the truth of the gospel, believed that it was true, and decided to place your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior? So I'm just going to read what she wrote verbatim because this is amazing. For 2 years, I tried dealing with my fears. Frustration and anxiety alone was getting nowhere. When we started attending LifePoint in January of 2018, hearing that God's plan includes imperfect and broken people, I told myself that I'm broken. I'm not perfect. And God does have a plan for me. I've come to the realization that my life is being run by fear and doubt and worry. Listening to these messages week by week and being able to relate each week has opened my eyes and my heart to place my trust in Jesus. When I came to this realization, my problems did not go away. However, a handful of people have been placed in my life that have been truly a blessing in helping me through these struggles. And then the last question that was asked, in what way has that decision impacted your life? And I'll read what she wrote as well. For the first time, I was asked about baptism. I cried. I was afraid that I could not tell you why until now. For years, I have set expectations for myself, and for years, I have failed myself. Baptism for me was telling God that I am saying yes. Yes to letting go of control, believing in God, and allowing him to be a part of my life. And so the last thing that she wanted to say is it said that who would you like to thank who's been just a big part of your life? And she says, my husband, Will, my sister, Shawnee, my mom and my dad, and Angela, my mother-in-law. So that is Samantha Farmer's testimony.
Samantha, have you made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
One time at the community center in the car, I asked Jesus into my heart. I accepted him as my Lord. One thing that's different in my life because of this is that I listen better. I already asked him into my heart, and I want to show that he's in there by being baptized. My favorite verse is Romans 5:8. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. I like this verse because while we are still sinning, Jesus washed our sin away. I want to thank my mom, my dad, my sister, and my teachers at church. My name is Charlie Westlake, and today I'm going public.
Charlie, I'm super excited for you and for what God's doing in your life. Is it true that you kept begging mommy and daddy to let you get baptized? Yeah. Listen, go ahead and grab my arm there, buddy. Let me ask you. Charlie, have you chosen to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And based on your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I was about like 7 or 8, and kids at school have been talking about Michael Jordan. I asked my dad who he was. My dad's not really a Michael Jordan fan, so he just said a little bit of details about him. That same day in the afternoon, me and my family went to church, and the pastor there put Michael Jordan into a sermon. The light in my eyes just like sparked, and just like the light from God was showing me something. He was talking about baptism. That same night, I asked my dad something right before I went to bed. I said, "Dad, what is baptism?" He explains what it is to me and tells me that I could get baptized someday. One thing I had to do was pray, ask for God to forgive my sins, and for him to come into my heart and take over my life. So we did, and that just sealed the deal for me. And that's how I accepted Christ into my heart. Life before and after Christ was... So before, my mom and dad would say things from the Bible. It was just really confusing, and I didn't understand anything about it. Life after Christ, I felt like built together, like that new final piece of the puzzle was put into me. I feel peaceful knowing that God's with me and in my heart. It's like I'm a tree. The roots are God. And as my faith grows, the tree grows. Hard things happen, like winter comes and like it's cold and your leaves are bare. You still grow. You grow the branches. Even though sin tries to cut you down, like your leaves fall, your roots are still there because God's still with you. I'm getting baptized because I want to show other people out there in this world that believing in God is possible, and this is a symbol to represent that I'm a believer now. I'd like to thank my family, so my mom, my dad, my sister, and the LifePoint staff, and the pastors, my friends who come to school with me, come to church with me. I'd also like to thank the pastor who was talking about Michael Jordan and talked about baptism and made that all possible for me. And his name is Andy Kalin. I'd like to thank him a lot. My name is Carly Travers, and today I'm going public.
All right, Carly Ann Travers, I couldn't be more excited for what God is doing in you and being able to watch it up close. I'm excited to see and to watch how he transforms you and uses that tender heart of yours to glorify his name. So Carly Ann Travers, have you chosen Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior, to follow him all of your days?
Yes.
And I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I gave my life to Christ when I was 5 years old. It was towards the beginning of first grade. We had just watched a movie about Jesus, and I had gone into my room. As a 5-year-old, you think, I don't want there to be any more pain or sickness or crying, and I want everyone to be nice to each other. I don't want there to be any more sin. I prayed and I cried, and I was like, God, I want to come live in heaven with you. I want to be a follower of you. I want to tell people about you. I had gone to my dad and I said, Dad, guess what? I just gave my life to Christ. And he brought my mom upstairs and she and I prayed, and that's when I gave my life to Christ. Life after accepting Christ has been that I have wanted to read my Bible more, and I have just wanted to tell people about God and who He is and about the Bible. I have decided to go public because I want people to see that I have decided to follow Christ. I want people to see that I am a follower of Him, and I want to share Him. My favorite verse is 1 Samuel 17, 45 through 47. It is from the story of David and Goliath. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and wild animals, so that everyone will know that there is a God in Israel. All of those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will deliver you into our hands." It shows that even though David was small, he was able to defeat Goliath with God's help. And I know, because I'm really short, that I can defeat any fear, bully, anything that comes in my way of being a follower of Him, that He can help me defeat it. I would like to thank my parents, my sister, my youth group leaders, Kayla Russell, Maria Murphy, Sarah Nielsen, as well as Kristen Kelly and Kira Wallace. My name is Abby Travers, and I have decided to go public.
Abigail Grace, I've had the privilege of watching you since day one, and been praying for you and watching how God is changing you from the inside out and giving you a tender heart to notice others. I've been praying that God would just use your life, and I'm grateful to watch. Abby, based on, well, let me ask you, have you decided to follow Jesus as your Lord and your Savior? And based on your profession of faith, Abby, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thought that might be important, that last little part there. Jeremy, be careful. Listen, I am so grateful for all that God is doing in our church. All you guys in here sitting up front, I just want to tell you that I am positive that God placed us here in Westerville so that God would reach you guys with the message, the most powerful message in the world, that someday you would grow up and that you would know Jesus. That as you know Him, God would use you to go out and make a difference in the world, that your light would shine out in places. And I just want to thank you guys for being so patient down here and watching. Just lastly, is before we're getting ready to pray, and maybe, you know, I think it's probably time for the kids to probably kind of mosey out. That way the parents will be able to get them afterwards. So I'll let you guys do that. Listen, as a pastor and as a dad, I want so much for my children and the people of our church to know the Lord. And everything we do, you know, we do on purpose to try to help you to see who Jesus is. And I hope that, at the very least, I hope that you've been encouraged by watching, you know, today and listening. But I don't want you to miss that maybe for some of you, you know, trust is a struggle. That for some of you, my guess is that trust is something that is not easy at all. And when it seems like the Egyptian army is bearing down on you, it feels like the weight of the world is bearing down on you. I just want to say to you that, you know, as you've placed your trust in Christ, He wants to meet you there in that moment. He's got the details. You may not see the bigger picture yet. You may not see that. But God is doing something in and through your life. But for some of you, my guess is that maybe, you know, you haven't made that decision to walk with the Lord. Maybe you believe it's true. Maybe you're there. You've believed it's true maybe your whole life. But there comes a moment when you have to decide, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to stop following life for my sake, and I'm going to turn from that. The Bible calls this repentance, but what it really means is simply to turn from that trajectory of your life, saying, I'm going to follow me and my way, and I just want God to bless me, to turn back and say, you know what, God? I'm sorry. Please forgive me, and you just walk towards the Lord. So lastly, let's just stand and pray. I just want to encourage you, wherever you're at, to talk to God. You know, I've been able, obviously, you know, I baptized my two daughters today, but I've watched them take little steps with God along the way. And each step as they're taking puts them in a trajectory towards Jesus. What is your step today? What's that thing? What is that step that you know God's been putting on you? What step do you want to take today? I'm going to ask it just in a minute as we close our eyes and bow our head and pray. Tell God, God, this is the step. This is the struggle. Maybe it's just acknowledging to God that this scares me to death, Lord. And just tell him that. But for some of you, I just want to say, have you ever made the decision to become a follower of Jesus? Have you ever heard the message of the truth? And for the first time, even today, you're going, you know what? That's me. I've never decided to put my trust in Jesus. What God wants for you is freedom that only the gospel can bring. And today, your step, if you're ready, is simply to say to God, all right, God, I believe, please forgive me, please come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. That's what he wants for your life. So let's pray. Everyone close their eyes and bow their heads, talk to God. If that's you and there's an area of your life where you just need to trust God, just tell him right now, God, I'm praying that you would speak to us. Help us to fully trust you, God. Show us enough of you, God, that we can take that step. Meet us in those moments. I know there are people in this church who are really struggling through some hard, hard things, God. God, I pray that you would meet them there. God, help them to see that you are coming around them, that you have the details worked out. You have a purpose and a plan for what's happening in their life. God, for some of us, you know, our hearts just get kind of hardened by going through the motions of life. God, help us to trust you again. Help bring that joy of the salvation that we've experienced into our life again by trusting in you daily. And for those of you in the room, you've never made that decision, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Tell God, God, I am sorry. I recognize that Jesus is God. He is Lord Almighty. And he came down to pay the penalty for my sin. Just tell him that. Tell him that you believe that he died and rose again. And tell him you want forgiveness. Say, Lord, please forgive me. And ask him to be your Lord and your Savior. Just tell him that in your own words. Just tell him. I ask you to do one thing. With everyone's eyes closed and head bowed, I just want to say to you, baptism is a public declaration. God says that if we acknowledge him before men, he will acknowledge us before his Father in heaven. I just want to give you an opportunity, if you prayed that prayer today, to acknowledge that you've made that decision before me as an honorary first person. And all I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand in a second saying, yes, I've made the decision to become a follower. I'm acknowledging that right now. If that's you, all I'm going to ask you is raise your hand and say, yes, that was me. I've made that decision. Thank you. You made that decision to follow Jesus today. God, I'm asking that you work in our lives, help meet us here in these hard spots. God, teach us to trust you. Teach us to see the bigger picture of all that you're doing. In your Son's precious name, we pray. Amen.